The sound of the pesky, annoying horsefly warns us all, stay still and you might get bit. But there's a quiet fly that destroys wheat crops, and it arrived on our shores about 250 years ago, around the same time Thomas Jefferson was writing the Declaration of Independence. As part of an occasional series on the anniversary of the nation's signature document, WHYY's senior climate reporter, Susan Phillips, reports on how one of the country's first invasive species spurred suspicions of biological warfare, threatened the economy, and inspired citizen science.
We're going back to 1776. In August of that year, thousands of German soldiers known as Hessians arrived in America to fight against the Continental Army. Paid by the British, the Hessians sparked fear and resentment among the colonists, helping to rally more Americans to the cause. These soldiers were so hated, they were named as one of 27 grievances listed in the Declaration of Independence, condemned for raping and pillaging farmers throughout New Jersey. Around the same time, a new pest began to eat wheat, barley, and rye crops on American farms. The pest was a tiny white worm, sort of like a maggot, which munched its way to adulthood, destroying the harvest before flying off to mate in other fields.
It began in Long Island and Brooklyn, and they could sit and watch as the insect moved further west and further south.
Lou Mazur is a professor of American history at Rutgers University. Mazur says the fly, which is the size of a gnat, worried farmers, many of whom, like Thomas Jefferson, were also delegates to the Continental Congress.
They are concerned, deeply concerned, because wheat is critical, not only to domestic production, but to export.
Rumors spread that the fly hitched a ride, some thought on purpose, through the straw bedding of Hessian soldiers. While it could have happened this way, there is no evidence this is how the fly arrived, or that it was a piece of biological warfare employed by the Hessians or the British. But the story stuck. After the war, a gentleman farmer and slave owner from Princeton, New Jersey, named George Morgan, looked out over his devastated crops and decided the pest needed a name. In fact, a very bad name. Morgan explains here in a letter that he wanted everyone to associate the destruction and violence by Hessian soldiers with the devastation wrought by the fly.
The name of the Hessian fly was given to this insect by myself. We agreed to use some industry in spreading the name to add, if possible, to the detestation in which the human and insect were generally held by our yeomanry, and to hand it down with all possible infamy to the next generation as a useful national prejudice.
So it's a very powerful piece of rhetorical propaganda out of the rage that the revolutionaries felt of those 30,000 Hessian soldiers who fought for the British during the war.
Morgan also wrote to George Washington that year, telling him the fly had reached Philadelphia. He describes in detail his experiments to save his crop. That same year, Britain banned wheat imports from our young nation because of the Hessian fly. Thomas Jefferson was furious, calling it a libel on our wheat and saying it was in retaliation for America winning the war. Jefferson soon got involved as a member of the American Philosophical Society, which spearheaded scientific research into the Hessian fly. The society, created by Benjamin Franklin in 1743, still exists today in a faux colonial building near Independence Mall.
Let's see what I have here.
It's here where millions of colonial era documents are stored.
So I want to show you two, just so you can see. These are the official APS minutes from 1787 to 1793.
Adriana Link is the history of science curator at the American Philosophical Society. She opens a sheepskin-bound volume with elaborate handwritten cursive script on parchment.
These are really incredible accounts that represent the conversations that would have been happening at the society during the time. So here, this is an entry from April 15th, 1791. on motion of Mr. Jefferson, resolved that a select committee be appointed.
In 1791, Jefferson and James Madison set out on an expedition. Traveling through New Jersey and New York to survey farmers, they asked these ordinary Americans to observe and document their experiences with the Hessian fly, which threatened the new nation's economy. While they didn't get the amount of responses they expected, Link says their attempts at citizen science was a uniquely American, as opposed to British, way to solve the problem.
So that, I think, is distinct, too. There's this kind of optimism in the power of collective scientific work.
Link says Jefferson's obsession with the fly was twofold: serious risks to the nation's budding independent economy, and pride that American science, or what was then referred to as natural history, could be just as effective as European.
I think Jefferson being sort of the driving force in this is telling, because he did see science as being a mechanism through which to build the nation.
By 1811, the Hessian fly had traveled south to Thomas Jefferson's fields at Monticello, destroying one-third of his wheat crop. Today, the consensus is the fly was never even in Germany. The Hessian fly originated in the Fertile Crescent in North Africa and the Middle East, the same place where wheat originated. And today, it's still here. The pest is manageable, but still one of the most devastating to the country's wheat. The tiny larvae emerge at the base of the plant several times a year, and in some areas of the country, climate change could be making it worse. The solutions today aren't that different than they were 250 years ago. Find and develop more resistant strains of wheat, and time fall planting to avoid egg laying. Almost 250 years later, everyone, scientists and farmers alike, still call it the Hessian fly. So the Princeton farmer George Morgan would be happy to know that he succeeded in passing down his
useful national prejudice.
From the Climate Desk, I'm Susan Phillips, WHYY News.